everybody. Welcome to episode 190 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is gaming for the elderly. And today, October 16th, 2012, I'm one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law. Also joining me this week and hosting Mr. Timely, Christopher Matthew.
I'm always on time, never late.
Yes, you are.
It's because that's my military-ness.
How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Greg. How are you?
I am fantastic today. Let's see, also joining us this week and hosting Mr. Richard Primrose.
Hello.
I have a great fact for you later, Rich. You're going to love it.
Great. Is this from Mr. Bongo Hussein again?
No.
Different fact.
Yes, a different factoid, yes.
All right, cool. I'm currently holding a spongy crotch.
Wow.
That's just my info for today.
Yeah. Should we qualify that, Rich?
If you really want to, or you can put that bit in the outtakes.
I'm thinking it's just going to hang in the air right now. I'm currently holding a spongy crotch.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Basically, I found a new pastime to stop me from going to sleep during the podcast, and it's not Minecraft.
Wait a minute. Is it touching a spongy crotch?
Well, sort of, yes. I'm currently...
No, please, elaborate.
I'm currently sewing. Yeah. And the apparel that I'm sewing has a spongy crotch. So, yeah. Make of that what you will. If anybody wants to know what I'm actually doing, send a Twitter to OC_podcast and I'll answer it, because we have not got enough time to go into it right now.
Right. Okay. Spongy crotch.
There you go.
Moving on, Mr. Mike Chin not joining us this week. He had other things to do. I'm not sure exactly what they were, but I got a polite but curt, I will not be making the show on Tuesday. To which I replied to him, fine, but you better make the show next week. Because I won't be here next week, guys. It's that time of year again when I make that, you know, the pillage out of my home office and actually have to do work outside of where I live. So
you're pillaging your home office?
I'm pillaging my home office, yes.
You're going to steal your own stuff?
I guess that is, it really is what I just said, is it not?
Oh, yes. Insurance fraud, Greg. You shouldn't tell people about it.
No, it usually doesn't go the right way. You think you're going to get away with it, and then that damn dog and those stupid teenagers come along and they catch you and you're screwed.
Stupid kids.
Damn kids. I'm heading out to Chicago. Never been to Chicago other than the airport, so I'm actually pretty excited for it. But
I've heard they've got their very own brand of pizza.
Speaking of poor timing.
Yeah, no kidding. But they do have their very own brand of pizza. It's actually really just a deep dish pizza, but it's kind of famous for being from Chicago. Yeah. At least in the States. I'm sure in Sicily and in Italy, they're like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid. It all was made over here.
We have pizzas over here called Chicago Town Pizzas, which is why I was referencing it.
Okay.
And they are indeed deep ones.
Well, there you go. Chicago-style pizza. See? Fun fact. All right. Well, let's continue on with talking about other stuff than pizza and spongy crotches. Real quickly, Extra Life. It is happening this weekend. It is coming up. I'm kicking off my Extra Life weekend on Friday.
Absolutely. Saturday.
There's
a war.
Most people... Yes, there is a little bit of a war going on. Most people are going from Saturday to Sunday. Being that I was flying out on Sunday, I didn't think that was exactly smart of me, so I decided to start a day earlier. But, yes, there has been a war of fundraising, but I'm not going to get into the semantics of who's ahead of who or what co-host might have, instead of backing one of his own friends and brethren for years, instead he gave a donation to somebody else.
Hold on a minute, Greg. Just before you start throwing out these wild accusations, have you got any evidence to back that up, my man? Or perhaps are you just reading quotes off Twitter?
I might be just reading quotes off Twitter.
Ah, I think you better look into that, my man.
I might have
ever
to.
Comes up on Twitter.
Nothing ever. But no, we've been having some fun, especially Gary DeFelice and myself, back and forth about you know, who's raising more money, and Gary was thoroughly kicking my ass. But I kind of knew a lot of the people that were going to be donating on my end hadn't come forward yet. That, you know, I had a lot of money promised. And needless to say, Gary now is in a trailing position, and he has a little ways to go. However, he did make $5 off of me last night because I stupidly bet that my Chargers would beat the Broncos. And let me tell you, I was feeling good about that bet at halftime. Chargers up 24-0. How do they lose? But they did. They lost. They fell apart. They imploded. I was embarrassed to be a Chargers fan. But happy to give Gary $5 off that. In fact, I made it $10, $5 for the bet, and another $5 for just being embarrassed.
So how is that different than any other day being a Chargers fan?
Good point. But anyway, I'm just going to keep going. The VG Hub team, though, I'm excited to say we're ranked like 31 out of, was it like 2,100 different teams? We're ranked up pretty high. We're doing well. We've raised up over 3,000. We're actually coming up on our $4,000 goal. And I got to say, for 14 people, we're doing pretty darn good, considering a team like the Giant Bomb team is just ahead of us. They're only at like 4,000 even, and they have 45 people. So
yeah,
I'm
take that, Giant Bomb.
Yep, we're nipping at their heels. I would love to see us beat them. Oh, God, I would give them no end of shit. Anyway, or every end of shit. I don't know how you would put that right. Again, me not making sense. Let's talk about games.
Games.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so games, look. Here's the gist of it. I pretty much know what Chris and I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, I know part of what you want to talk about, but let's just cover you first, make sure that there's not something else within your gaming library that is scooting in there besides the one game. You know, that game.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Demos-wise... I played two demos, if I remember rightly, yeah. I played Forza Horizons. So it's it basically recapping on what you were probably talking about last week. Forza Horizons, had a go on that. I enjoyed it. I liked the variety of the stuff that it was giving you to do. And, yeah, the driving was fun. Be interested to see what it's like when you get all of that open world and you're in it for a few hours and so on. Just see how it kicks in. But yeah, I enjoyed it overall. Not talked too much about it because we did go into it last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the gist for me was it really had that Burnout Paradise kind of feel, but just not quite the character.
Yeah, but I never played Burnout Paradise. So I wouldn't know. So, but I did enjoy that, yeah. So...
Okay.
We'll see. Cause
did you get to race the P-51 Mustang?
The plane? No, it was all the modern stuff that I was driving.
Okay. So in the demo, you can go to a spot, and it's a race basically between you in an old Ford Boss Mustang.
Yeah.
And against a P-51 plane.
Oh, I did do that. I did do that. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yep.
I had a lot of fun with it, but I got the feeling towards the end of that race that it felt very suspicious that the plane just always seemed to be right near and about that checkpoint as you were racing towards it.
Yeah, it felt like you was always going to win that whatever.
I didn't know if I was always going to win it, but it always felt like it was going to be tight. I certainly felt like I could lose it, but... the plane always just seemed to appear, and it was just I don't know. It's hard to say, was the plane really racing the course it was supposed to race? You'll never know, because nobody's ever going to be able to, you know, be in that plane. So that it was fun, it was different, but I hope there's not a lot of those types of events in the game.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot about that bit, so that was probably not a highlight for me, that part.
Okay.
I did enjoy the 4x4 stuff, though, in the Mitsubishi Lancer. That was cool.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. And the other thing, because I think you spoke about it last week as well, is I've been on the Medal of Honor beta.
Okay, yeah.
Beta. Mixed about that. I don't know if you can cast your mind back, but I said that I was looking at the game when it was at Eurogamer.
Right.
And I was doing, like, the comparison between COD and this one. I'm still of the opinion that the graphics are not very good on this game.
I'm with you on that, Rich. I'm with you on that. It every once in a while, like, the lighting seemed like it was pretty good. But overall, it looks like an older graphics engine, but it's Frostbite 2. It's the newer engine, so...
Which I find very surprising.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind how good it can look in Battlefield 3, and yeah, if we know about the frame rate, it's not 60 frames per second, but you do get effective and good-looking battle. Sound seems to be coming through the same sort of style as Battlefield, which is always a good thing, because the audio is always good on Battlefield. But the kill cam stuff, and when you're waiting to spawn, looks horrendous. The modelling and stuff that's going on in that game is really bad. They've got some good ideas in it, though. I like the way in this test of the game that you're getting to unlock different nationality operators. And you can always jump back through the menus and select a different guy. And he'll stand up, walk off, and you can change his loadout. And, you know, you're going to get your snipers in there, your heavy gunners. And then also each nationality then seems to unlock different styles of gunners and stuff like that. So seems very versatile. And the unlocks and stuff like that seem very detailed as well. Like what they're giving you, like the different barrels and stuff like that. So
I did like the mortar stuff, using a laser rangefinder to call in mortar strikes. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep, and the Black Hawk, so that all of your team gets like a preferential spawn point, so that you're nearer to your objectives and so on. That was cool. I like the game mode that they was giving you, but you're just playing one map over and over again, so that obviously gets a bit repetitive. Good size maps, the map that I was playing, the size of it and the amount of movement going off, even though you was playing the same one over and over again, because it was so big, it didn't seem to get boring. Lots of different entry points into the objective, so you know, you could switch the game tactics up and so on. So fortunately I didn't get to play with any people that I knew, so that would have probably been more beneficial. But yeah, overall, fair crack, but I don't think this demo would make me say, oh, I've got to go out and buy this, which is unfortunate.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
My main game, which...
Little game.
Took me totally by surprise, because I was off Thursday, Friday, and then I realised... Oh, bugger, that's come out today, hasn't it? Dishonored. So I went out Friday and cashed in some money that I'd stacked up on a card and basically bought Dishonored. So I've been playing that.
Dishonored's first-person stealth action game?
Yes.
That's probably a good description?
Yes.
Okay. No multiplayer, no co-op?
No, none of that. They're not interested in any of that. They just want to give you a single-player experience and one that's very versatile and one that will make you want to go back and play it over and over again. And thankfully, they succeed in doing that. So they've done a very good job on this game. I would say that I'm probably just over halfway through the game. lay out the story, which everybody knows. The royal bodyguard to the Empress basically witnesses her murder and then is put in the frame for it. Escapes captivity with the sole purpose of getting revenge. And also, during the process of the assassination, the Empress's daughter is kidnapped. And so you have to set about trying to rescue her whilst avenging the death of the Empress. So, overall, the biggest thing that struck me in it is the storytelling. It's got excellent storytelling. And I know me and Mike have battered back and forth about, because a lot of comparisons have been made to this game with Bioshock and also Deus Ex. I want to make a couple of other different comparisons. And by no means, either the games that I am going to compare it to are small fish. First one I'm going to compare it to, and it's one that I've battered with Mike about quite a lot, is Half-Life 2. Now, the one thing I would always give Mike and Stu from Veteran Gamers about Half-Life 2 is it does a very good job of telling a story in from the first person perspective, and I don't think that's an easy task to do. This one seems to pull it off as well as Half-Life 2 does, and it does that in a number of different ways. It's got an excellent this is like vouching for a tutorial portion of the game is very unusual, but I want to say the tutorial portion of the game at the very beginning does a very good job of telling a story and bonding you to a character, i.e. the Empress's daughter, and then putting emphasis on the fact that there's a previous bond with the family, and that it's not the fact that you're just a bodyguard and it's his job to do this. They do a very good job of setting up the character and his relationship to the other characters within the game. Okay. And the storytelling throughout seems to carry on in that mould. There's a lot of political intrigue. You can just smell there's going to be a twist and somebody's going to betray you. I've not had it happen yet. But all of they put in really colourful characters that have got, great voice acting. The graphics are excellent. They're like caricatures. The styling of the old world as well is really good. If you think Bioshock, but I would say the artists that work on this have probably done a better job. And it also fills out the world brilliantly. And I'd say this was better than Bioshock as well. And I love Bioshock, so that's high praise from me. The audio logs and stuff in here. It's got enough books in this game with lore that you can read from the world to put Skyrim to shame, and that's bloody saying something. The amount of books you get in Skyrim, and that's before you're even into the gameplay side of it. So overall, the world that they've created, Dunmore, is excellent. So they've done a really good job. Of setting up this world in the play area for you to work in. Now, when you get in that play area and you start going about your business, the flexibility that's involved in it is—it's just there's so many different ways you can play this game.
Now, can I ask you a quick question? So,
yeah.
I'm assuming the game itself kind of takes place within the city,
mm-hmm.
And is it like an open world city where you can kind of go anywhere and? At any time, or is it a little more linear and it kind of directs you, down kind of a path, if you will, to a play area. You play in that area and then you're off to another area.
Right.
Because that was a little more like Deus Ex, if my memory serves me correct. Deus Ex, it was kind of, even though it was open world, it really wasn't. It was like you were traveling from one side to the other side to back to the one side, to do missions. And within those missions, yep. You had the area to go in and kill and be stealthy.
Right. The clever thing this game does is it doesn't have, if you think of Deus Ex, you've got like a hub of a wandering area that you can wander around, yeah?
Right,
and then
right.
Set yourself off. This has basically got one area where you're always congregating and talking to people, and it's very closed and very confined, yeah? and then you will always set about your missions via boat. So that will then kick in a load screen. If I was gonna explain the levels in any way, I'm gonna pick a shape. The shape for the levels is just imagine a chemistry flask. So you've got a narrow neck, yeah?
Right.
And every time you reach the narrow the end of the narrow neck, everything will open out and you'll have a massive play area. And that's more or less every level that I've played so far. Yeah? So you've got you'll start off with a linear experience and then it'll break out into the final. There's always like a climax to each level because you're setting out to do effectively on each one and it's a major assassination. And this is where the other comparison with games comes into play. I'd also compare it to Assassin's Creed.
I've actually heard other sites making similar kind of references. So is it just because you have kind of a job to do and you have kind of different ways to go about it?
There's that, but there's also the verticality of the whole world as well. Makes it feel a lot like Assassin's Creed. But I tell you what is better with this is you feel so much more fluid when you're moving within the world. And that, Assassin's Creed is a really good game. It's got a really good control system.
Right.
But there was always, you always get certain frustrating moments when you're dropping off stuff. Now, I can remember Mark, when he was talking about when he played the demo for Dishonored, that he said sometimes he found the blink power in it to be a little bit hard to calculate where you was going. So basically you're setting up on your loadout, your left hand can be a conventional weapon that would fire projectiles like a crossbow or a gun, or you can quick map powers, which would make a little bit of a comparison to say BioShock. Right hand, you've always got your sword there, so there's a lot of melee combat, which is really satisfying, and you can parry block, and the combat works really well. So the major power that I'm always using is the blink one, and I understand what Mike was saying to do with the demo, but it doesn't take too long to get used to it, because what you've got is, when you're trying to throw out this blink move, which basically is just like a fast travel. So you can point at your cursor with your left hand, wherever you point it, you let go of the left trigger and you go there.
Now let me ask you a question, and then I'm going to do a little, I guess, devil's advocate with you. So on the blink mechanic, I know that's something you can equip to your left hand.
Yes.
Is that like a power that you have to use to traverse terrain, or could you try and, say, climb up a wall just without it? Or do you ultimately have to use the blink power?
You would have to, in certain maneuvers, you would have to equip it to get to the start point of going up the elevation of a building. Then you could use jump and climb for a certain amount. Then again, you'd have to use the blink.
Now, let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
And this is that devil's advocate thing. Do you think maybe... I realize that a lot of people are praising this blink mechanic because it seems to have made everything feel more fluid. And I guess maybe credit is due there because they managed to make it more fluid. But is it possible that maybe this blink mechanic was created because they were not able to make the climbing and the verticality fluid and they felt it was clunky? And so they just kind of said, you know what if we just give them a power to just warp? This way, we don't have to do anything. We just, you don't have to worry about additional animations. We could just, make them just warp everywhere.
You know what, Greg? I could probably ask the same question about grappling hooks in Batman Arkham City.
Yeah,
but
it's
you
true.
Know, I
That's
wouldn't
true.
Because what I'd
That's
be
fair.
Saying is that traversing was, hugely satisfying, and so is this one. So,
and maybe, again, to their credit, They saw a way to make this mechanic work really well, and they did it. And clearly, you enjoy it. It's satisfying. So, all right, enough of that. Enough of me trying to play devil's advocate with you, I promise.
That's all right. It's good to get a few probing questions. Another one, which I think it's worth pointing out is the steady climb you've got in the unlocking of stuff. And I've not felt anything as satisfying with that since I played what we've just been talking about, Batman Arkham City. Because in that, what you was finding was gradually you had the choice to unlock certain abilities. And that always went with what your play style is. This is exactly the same. You can basically choose what you're going to unlock as far as power-ups are concerned. The way you get that, very early on in the game, you've got your blink mechanic to start off with, and then quite early on in the game, you get given an object which is basically a detector, which can, if you equip it, you can basically detect runes throughout the world. So your collectibles in this game actually give you the power to unlock stuff. Which, okay, for me, not being somebody that normally bothers with collectibles, I've just taken on a whole new sidetracking persona of trying to track down all of these runes and bone charms that you can get. So,
is it almost kind of like the Crackdown orbs, where it's you're collecting these orbs and it'll eventually unlock things for you, so you just keep wanting to collect all of them because they're,
if I remember rightly, the orbs things was you had that steady build up in your actual body,
right,
you know, where you jump higher and you start getting stronger that way. This is, it's just straight up, you'll get a charm, you can spend that charm, yeah?
Okay,
so it's a collectible, you find a rune, that rune can go towards unlocking or leveling up a power you've already got. You also get secondary collectibles called bone charms. These, basically, you can attach these. You've got four slots to start up with, but you can unlock additional slots as well. Sort of like your Borderlands thing. You know, you've got your backpack,
mm-hmm,
and your slots for stuff in there. You can unlock additional slots, and these will give you things like health boosts. You will also get things like, if you're getting melee attacked, it will give you power back, or if you kill somebody before they get the chance to fire a shot at you, you'll get additional bullets and little trinkets like that, which all add to it. And what else is there to say, really? I was quite surprised in the fact that there are branching storylines in it. So you're not just going down this single path on a level. You can get broken off. And just like there are multiple ways to achieve an objective, you can pick multiple ways of finishing a level. So, for instance, there is an assassination that you have to carry out very early on in the game, where, and I'm not going to go into the story details of it, but you come across a character, basically, who says to you, if you so wish, if you do this job for me, you won't have to worry about taking out your main objective. So if you go on this different mission and succeed in that, and it's like a two-part mission, then I will take care of your main problem, which is the target of your assassination. So you can see that during the game, different people are going to have totally different experiences in the game. Deus Ex, I remember, that didn't that do something similar to that? You know, where you could do multiple choices and different things with that.
Right, game. Right.
So I didn't expect that was going to be part of it, but that was quite a nice surprise. Overall, it's been really, really satisfying, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. My game of the year is normally consists of at least one single player, and normally the single players get up there, and at the minute, this is the best one I've played this year. And there's been some good ones this year as well. So
There have. Okay, yeah. Excellent. So Dishonored, definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
I'm hoping on my end to get it through Gamefly. I may have to wait on that a little bit, but if not, I'll probably end up checking it out as prices come down a little bit. I do want to check it out.
It's definitely one of them games that you turn it off and you walk away and you're like, when can I get back on this game? I want to carry on. I'm thinking about it. When I'm doing the shopping, I want another go. Yeah, it's a good one. Well worth it. But the fish are bloody annoying. saying.
Fish are annoying. All right, look, enough said. All right, let's turn it over to Mr. Matthew, and I think we can cover the other big release from last week. That would be XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
Well, why are we turning it over to me if you're going to talk about it, Greg? May as well turn it
over
to you.
Well, because we're both going to talk about it, Mr. Matthew.
Okay.
Well, because I believe, are you playing it on PC or 360?
No, I got it on 360.
Okay.
I just haven't been online on the 360 in like a week because apparently there was some kind of terms of service change that I missed.
Oh, God.
Online,
and I'm about to accept that about three times this week.
Yep. I believe we should be seeing the new dashboard rolling out. It started rolling out, actually, to some already. So for those not in the beta already, you'll be seeing the new dashboard shortly, and that is a big part of it. So, yeah. Anyway. So, XCOM. Yeah, I mean, this is about as simple a game as possible, right? There's not much to it. It's not complicated. Straightforward, 8-bit graphics, right?
Yeah, it used to be.
Yeah, it used to be.
It actually is. The neat thing about XCOM is on the surface, it's actually pretty simple.
Yeah.
Especially this version. If you can just kind of follow the advice of your advisors and you'll get from battle to battle and you may be relatively successful.
Relatively successful is probably the opt word for that because, let me tell you, my success rate has been peaks and valleys.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I have encountered some missions. You know what? Before we get into that, let's maybe go back. You were setting the stage for the game. Let's do that. Why don't you give an overall description for everybody so people can understand better what XCOM is? I have a feeling there's quite a few people that don't really know what XCOM is.
You think there's people left that don't know?
I do.
Right.
I really do.
So it's essentially a strategic and tactical simulation. So you've got the strategic aspect of it where you have to plan your research, you have to build your base, you have to provide support to all the different nations of the globe because that's where your money comes from. And if you don't provide support for them, they may leave the coalition and no longer give you money. All of this kind of wrapped around the guise of defending the planet from invading aliens.
Right, which I would like to throw out one quick complaint, and this is more just a philosophical one. If I'm the team in charge of defending the planet, I expect from the get-go everybody to kick down cash to me. I was a little taken aback by the fact that I had to go out and set up stuff to earn their cash.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I didn't even really think about that. I think in the original you did start out with automatically getting a lot of cash. But I think I can kind of see in this one it's going to go the same way as the original. Like by the end of the game, most of your cash is going to come from simple stuff.
Yeah, and the mechanic works really well in the game. Don't get me wrong. But it was just kind of one of those funny things I was thinking about. I'm like, well, I'm already working for everybody, and yet they're not giving me any money. What the hell?
Well, and you got to balance it, right? You want to
keep lights
over the countries that are panicking so that they won't panic. But you also want to get your satellites over the countries that will give you the most money and the most stuff.
Yeah, so that is one of the interesting things. So within the support setup, as you're looking at these countries and who to put your satellites up over, because once you put a satellite up over that country, you're monitoring the country for alien activity, and it calms the country down a little bit. And in calming the country down, they then decide they'll give you money. But they not only will give you money, often there's also engineer support or research scientist support that will come with those countries.
Yep.
In terms of, you know, you get some added perks to it. So you have to be strategic about where you plant those satellites. You don't want to just plant a satellite over Mexico if you don't have one over the United States, say, because the United States is going to give you some perks, I believe, on engineering. But anyway, and money, yeah. And then there's different levels of money support as well. So
what do you get if you put your satellite over London, then? Do you get fish and chip support?
Yes.
Yes, fish and chip support and the ability to drive on the other side of the road.
All right, great.
Anyway, so it's the strategic element, Chris. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Tactical side of it. How does that work?
So then, you know, once you've got your satellites in place, you've got some, monitoring for alien activity, and there's several different types of missions that pop up, and you can send a squad to either investigate a downed UFO or stop some aliens that are terrorizing a city or extract important people.
Yes.
Those kind of things. And so that's when it turns into a turn-based tactics game where you've got your six soldiers and you've got to maneuver them to flank around the enemies and kill them. And it's very detailed. It's much better than the original in terms of each of the soldiers having their own role. You know, your sniper and your heavy and your assault and your support.
Well, in the original game, you could literally decide what you wanted to make of that soldier. They could be a sniper or, you know, if I remember correctly, at least, this is the way I remember it.
There were some options.
Right, you were able to assign points however you wanted.
No.
So you could make them a better sniper.
No, they just kind of got abilities. They just kind of leveled up. Their aim and their time units and everything would just kind of slowly improve. You know.
Oh yeah.
If you had a carry and the heavy stuff,
yes.
Then their strength would get better. So you could train them.
Right.
Get better at. But I don't remember there being a sniper rifle in the original. You had kind of the standard.
No, they just had better accuracy.
Yeah, but they weren't really a quote unquote sniper.
Yes.
Anyway, I think they do a much better job in this one of making the classes feel different rather than just giving them different guns.
Yes, and I will say I like the fact that they have a really solid tutorial in the game that walks you through like this opening mission sequence, but it's almost impossible. You know, you won't even realize you've finished the tutorial when you finish the tutorial. There's no, like, end of tutorial. It starts, it walks you through it. You immediately will know that this game expects and wants you to expect that soldiers are going to die. And they're very upfront about that in that opening tutorial. And I loved that about it. I thought it was a good way for it to set it up and make it makes you understand it's okay that you lose soldiers.
Well,
the game will go on.
It's not the end of the world either.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. The game will go on. You will continue to fight on, even if you lose a few soldiers during a battle. And upgrades and stuff like that are all handled basically. And again, jump in here, Chris, wherever you want to. But I mean, as you are going off and fighting aliens at the end of each mission, there's kind of like a mission recap report where you'll potentially have soldiers that have been promoted, and so you'll be able to once they get promoted the first time, they get their class assigned to them, and then a skill tree opens up that you know, it's kind of that double helix skill tree where you have to kind of pick and choose which perk you want to give them as they level up, and you'll often have that happening in that after mission screen. And then they'll also give you a rundown of all the stuff you got from the mission, which often is alien corpses and fragments and alien alloys and things that you take back to your base. And then your researchers and engineers, you'll basically assign projects to, you know, research the alien alloys to, you know, try and make a plasma pistol or... you know, you're going to have your engineers start building, say, better armor for your soldiers because they're able to use the alloys from the aliens and create a better, you know, armor suit.
I've got a backtracking question for you, if I may interject. You know, I was talking about squad members getting killed and stuff.
Right.
Is it possible then, before you set out on every single mission, to do a save, then you find out you've lost, say, three squad members, then you can just reload that save and do the mission again?
It is possible. Depending on what level of difficulty you're playing. It'll allow for that. If you're playing on, I believe it's Iron Man, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, I think that's the difficulty level.
Yeah.
It pretty much auto-saves for you, so it won't let you do that.
Right.
But to be perfectly honest, you're really not, I mean, at least for me, I don't have a desire to do that. Mostly because as you're playing through it, again, you get that feeling early on, soldier loss is okay. It sucks at times, but it's part of the charm and challenge of the game.
Are you playing that way as well, Chris?
I usually save at the start of each mission and then play the mission. And if I lose one or two, then I'll just let it ride. If it goes horribly wrong, then I might restart it.
Okay. You can lose your whole squad. You will fail out a mission, but again, it doesn't end the game. You're expected to rebound from it. I will say it is excellent advice. Two things: save before each mission, like Chris said, because I know that there is the occasional glitch bug right now that comes up where the game will freeze, and if you do that, you have to back out and basically turn the game off, and that will erase any progress you've made up until your save point. So that happened to me the other night, and unfortunately I hadn't saved. I'd already gone through 1.5 missions when it happened to me, so I lost a bit of progress. But it didn't bother me all that much. I went back and played the mission over again, and ironically had about the same results as the first time I played it. So saving is a good thing. There is the ability to do auto-saving on it. You have to turn that on in the options menu because it's not set on by default. So if you want auto-saving to happen, it's there. So the mechanics of it all. One of the things I love about the game, too, is the squad members themselves. So you're able to go in and customize all your squad members. And so you can give them – there's a set number of faces. I think it's like – I don't know, probably 6 or 7 different faces that you can give them based on their race. And there's like 4 different races that you can choose from. You can give them different hairstyles. You can give them different armor variants in terms of how it looks, its appearance, and different colors to the armor. And most importantly, you can name your squad members. And so you can go in and change their names. And I will say this up front. All of my squad members, and I have, I think, about 15 active squad members right now, all have names from people in my life, real people. So Christopher Matthew is one of my squad mates. Richard Primrose, squad mate. Mike Chin is a squad mate. Marcanix is one of my squad mates. I've got Shinyverse in there. I mean, the list goes on. I even have friends and family close to me that don't even play games, but they're in there. And there's something oddly satisfying about having Christopher Matthew going out on the battlefield with my squad as opposed to John Smith, you know, the generic name that might be associated with a squad mate that gets generated. And it's even more satisfying when you're in danger of losing that squad mate and you're trying to keep them alive or get them into a position of not dying. And it's just kind of it's a funny little add, you know, perk, if you will, of the game that it gives off. But I love the fact that I have all of my squad mates named. And here's the fact of the day. Richard Primrose, you are the only squad mate of mine that has not died since I started the game.
Rock fucking solid, mate. Telling you. Hey.
Now, you are playing a medic class for my you're a support class, which I've basically deemed the medic class in my game. So I have you. You're the medic, if you will. You came close to dying last night. I will say that.
Healing hands, baby. Healing hands.
Mr. Matthew, you unfortunately died early on in my gameplay. Mr. Marcanix was next to you, and I hadn't faced the chrysalid creatures yet, which are one of the early enemy variants that you'll come across. And they're a nasty little bunch. They're like spider-like aliens, and they do this powerful kind of physical attack on you. And when they kill you, they basically ingest an egg into you. That what happened is they killed Mark Hanix. They just ran up on him, killed him. He turned into a zombie, which I wasn't expecting. I had completely forgotten. I believe that was a mechanic of the old game. But here, Mark Hanix's body turns into an alien, and I still had Mr. Matthew right next to Mark Hanix's corpse. And when he came back up, he had to choose between trying to kill the chrysalid or trying to kill Mark Hanix. He didn't have enough action points to do both. And needless to say, zombie Mark Hanix attacked Mr. Matthew. Yeah.
I'm going to play this game.
Yeah, it is. It's just so satisfyingly fun. And it, as soon as you start feeling pretty badass with your squad mates, and you're going to have some squad mates that are just going to get super powerful, they're going to be up there and really effective, and you're... The danger is you start kind of latching on. So you might have like this core six that are really good. But if you're not careful and if you don't interject a few rookies into your squads and on your missions, you end up having six really strong guys and then, say, 10 rookies.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, like in, say, Mass Effect, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If you talk a new squad member into a battle that you'd not used before.
The answer is no.
No, you don't get that. You've got to level them up again.
Correct, correct. So they come in as a rookie.
So my next question.
Yes.
Another quick one. So you've been putting stuff into research and stuff in your base,
right,
which I'm assuming gives you certain equipment for each member.
Right.
Does that have like a level cap applied to
No.
it, or you can give nice powerful weapons to these new rookie guys when they first go out?
Absolutely. You can give a plasma rifle to a green rookie who's never, you know, gone out on a mission. You absolutely can equip them with good stuff.
Yep.
But they're still gonna have those base abilities. So
need to get their XP up.
Exactly. And so what happens to a lot of people, especially if they're not careful, you've got these six guys, you're going through and you're feeling, you know, these are the guys I roll with, they're awesome. And you hit, you know, there's these, I'll call it technology leaps that happen. And it's not really a technology leap, it's just the enemy leap. And you roll into a situation and the enemies you're fighting they're super tough. And if you get just a little lazy, and you start rushing through because maybe you're super comfortable with these guys and you're like, oh, well, I always do this on this mission, and you roll them out the same way you do over and over again, you just kind of stumble into a situation where, you know, you're not prepared for it. And suddenly two of your guys go down real quick. And if you're not careful and you have bad tactics, your whole squad could get wiped out. And then you're stuck with 10 rookies and you're still at that high level of alien tech. This game, absolutely, if you are not careful, you will lose. This is what I also love about this game. There is a absolute like ending of this game, which is not a good ending. It is the aliens have taken over Earth. You are dead. The whole world is under alien control. And so, you know, it's all part of this huge balance game that is within this, you know, this great package called XCOM. I cannot recommend this game high enough. You know, when you're in the actual mission screen, you know the tactical missions going out there, the environments are all destructible. So if you've got squads, you know, maybe you've taken cover behind some, you know, crates or whatever. If an alien's shooting at you or they lob a grenade at you, it'll destroy the cover. You know, it won't necessarily be there. You can fire a rocket launcher, you know, at the side of a building and blow apart the wall and expose the aliens inside the building, you know, as a potential tactic. It's got some just great level of just that finite detail. But the game mechanics all work really well with the controller. And Chris, I know you played PC and the Xbox now, so how are you finding the controller experience versus the mouse and keyboard experience? I mean, is it working for you?
Actually, I think the controller works really well. I played it with the mouse and keyboard, but they've they've set up the game so that it works really well with the controller. It took a little while for me to get used to some of the finer things like controlling the camera, et cetera, et cetera. But essentially, even when you're playing with the mouse and keyboard, everything you're doing is mostly with the just left click anyway. So it works really well with the controller.
Okay. And multiplayer, I have not touched it yet, but this game does offer 1v1 multiplayer.
Yeah, I gotta be completely honest, not really interested.
Yeah, I mean, I love the single player game so much that I haven't had this like gnawing like I need to play the multiplayer.
I would have thought a co-op version of this would have been quite successful.
See, I think a co-op version of this actually probably the wrong way to go, to be perfectly honest. And you'll get a better sense of this, Rich, once you play it.
Mm. Yeah,
but I think
I don't think co-op would work because it's not like Halo Wars where you can both be doing something at the same time. You know, you'd have to be sitting there waiting. Right. It's all turn-based, like tactics. So
yeah, and I watched a quick look. You know, Giant Bomb has a quick look of the game up there, and I was watching Ryan Davis play this game, and I was screaming at the screen, like, just fucking move your soldier. You know, you want to make the right move, and so you will think about your moves. But I imagine if it was co-op, I'd be sitting there going, okay, dude, Rich, come on, go. Just move your soldier over. Move your soldier over. But on the flip side, the multiplayer, and this is just based on what I know of how it works, it's 1v1. You each are taking a side. It's not an alien versus human side or alien versus alien. It's mixed. So you get basically, like, say, 10,000 points to spend, and they get 10,000 points to spend. And you can create a squad, up to 6 squad mates, of a, you know, they can be human, alien, mixed, whatever you want, but each unit has a cost associated with it. So some of the high-end units are going to cost upwards of 7,000 points. The lower-end units are going to be down like 400 points type thing. And then you basically equip this squad, and I believe the Xbox version, I don't know what the PC version does, but they'll allow you to do like one kind of pre-made squad so you can set it up ahead of time so you're not dilly-dallying in the menus trying to create a squad while the other person's waiting. But, you know, then you basically both square off, and it's a team deathmatch, and you get, I believe it's the max they'll allow is 2 minutes per turn. So you'll have a timer of, you know, 2 minutes to go through, make your moves and move your squad mates around, and then the turn goes to the other side. And then it comes back to you, and you get 2 more minutes, and you're, you know, setting up, taking your shots, moving your soldiers around. So I think it sounds like it would be a good time, but the single-player game is just so good, I haven't even been, you know, haven't even been bothered to really dive into the multiplayer. But I do want to look at it, Chris. I'm going to make you play it with me at least once.
What's the storytelling like? You know, the actual cutscenes and stuff like that. So, good.
Chris, why don't you handle this one?
With the cutscenes?
Yeah, the story.
Well, the story. I haven't really gotten that far in the story. I've only gotten up to the part where you have to. There's like the first big story mission where you go attack the base.
Right.
That's as far as I've gotten with the story.
I'm at that point. I have not gone for the base. But in a nutshell, Rich, the story's pretty thin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the premise of the game is the story.
Yeah.
The aliens are attacking. There's no main characters. You have some characters in your home base, which we probably should have talked about this. Your base is set up like an ant farm view. Imagine if you had a base that was building down into the ground.
Yeah, saw that on demo.
You take a slice and you're looking at it from the side. But like, you can zoom in.
So of course Firaxis made this, so there's lots of little we saw that in Civilization kind of things in here. And one of them is, you know, you've got all your advisors. So you've got your tactical advisor, your research advisor, your engineering advisor, and all these people kind of, you know, suggesting things to do next. And I kind of like the way they've done that, the way they brought that in from the Civilization franchise.
Yeah. And I like it because also I think, unlike Civilization, to me, the way they handled that, it felt almost a little too hand-holdy. Like, this really is what you need to do next. Whereas in this, even their suggestions, it doesn't seem like this has to be the next thing I do. So you have your base. You have these individual characters that head up the departments, that they have some personality to them. But really, at the end of the day, they're pretty generic characters. And the story, I mean, it opens with a cutscene, Rich, and it's, you know, kind of the aliens invading kind of scenario. And then it takes you right into the tutorial. You go through the tutorial. You come out of it. You're in charge of your base. You're fighting the aliens. The story becomes your story. You really, in essence, make this story up as you play through, as your squad mates die. And I think this is why I think the genius of being able to name these people after people you care about, it takes on an even better story in your own playthrough. Because my story is, you know, my gaming community, you know, fighting against this alien invasion. And, you know, I've got missions where Christopher Matthew died, and, you know, Marcanix died, and just recently Chinny died a horrible death. I know.
Thanks, be sad.
I have decided, for the sake of that, that I'm actually bringing you guys back to life as clones. So I do have a new Christopher Matthew, but it's Christopher Matthew 2. And for every time that somebody dies in my game, I rename them with the number behind them. And the most I have is 3. Somebody's died 3 times in my game. But there's a wall memorial in the base area where you can go and look at all of the people that have died on missions. And so it reads, you know, like a list of my frickin' family and friends. You know, they're all, you know, died on this mission, on this date. But it shows how many missions they had been on, how many kills they had gotten. And so you get an idea of, in a sense, kind of the vital players you've missed or you've lost.
I think
but also
through the missions, Greg.
Yeah. So effectively, Greg, what you're saying is that we're currently podcasting with David from Prometheus.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I've lost about 20 squad members so far.
And you haven't done the base assault yet.
No. No.
Yeah, you're being too impatient, I think, during the missions. I've lost, other than the 3 that you have to lose, I've lost 1.
That's ridiculous. You're clearly being too patient. Oh. You need to just go forward.
Overwatch. That Overwatch ability is crucial.
It is definitely crucial.
What's that? What is Overwatch?
Each soldier can move twice in a turn, or they can move twice and shoot once, depending upon what weapon they're using, mm-hmm. right? Well, if you have them only move once, they can then go into what's called Overwatch, where they will if any enemies come within their line of sight during the alien turn, they'll
react.
Yeah.
Ah, right, cool.
And so
you got that from the demo. Yeah.
Is really so you know, I just move them nice and slow. I always keep a sniper in an elevated position. So whenever one of my forward troops spots somebody, the first thing I do is see if the sniper can shoot at him. Because the sniper has an ability called squad vision, where if anybody in the squad sees a target, as long as it has a clear line of fire, the sniper can engage that target.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. I like the possibilities in this game.
Yeah. Now, so one thing to clear up, though, but let's be clear. I am not reloading saves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just let that hang there for a second. Hey.
You're going to throw something at me. Shut up for a minute and let me respond. I've only used the do-over once.
Mm-hmm. 1v.
Fair enough.
1v.
Yeah, I know. 1v1. 1v1.
1v1.
The game does have a few niggles. I think it's worth mentioning that it's awesome. And Rich, I know you talked about this from your experience with Eurogamer, where it goes right into these cutscene animations when you're shooting and you're having your team fire off. the game just in engine goes into these cinematic views of that experience, and it really adds a nice touch to it. However, once in a while, you will see some kind of clipping issues. Or Overwatch actually is the one area where I've found this to be probably the most jolting, if you will. And that is, I might have a soldier in Overwatch, and an enemy starts to approach, say, a doorway. But they haven't quite got to the doorway, but maybe they passed by a window. And so the soldier sees them and is reacting to them through Overwatch. And so my soldier's firing at them. But when you go into that cinematic view, yeah, my soldier's actually shooting through a wall.
Yeah, I've seen that a few times. That is kind of jarring.
And what I haven't figured out yet is sometimes it appears that because he's firing into the wall, he's not able to hit him at all, which I'm kind of okay with. I wouldn't mind him waiting a little bit to shoot and wait till he's beyond the wall. But there have been times where it seems like I'm shooting through a wall and I still am hitting the other soldier or the other alien.
Yeah.
So, you kind of just take that with a grain of salt. I think it's an unfortunate side effect of the way the camera angles work and just some of the mechanics of the game. But it's still brilliant. I mean, I give it a pass on that.
Your guys need to be researching that sniper rifle in Black Ops 2, the one that can shoot through concrete walls. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you never know. That might be coming later on in the game.
Mm.
The tech tree and the skill tree on this and the weapon customizations or I guess, advancements are pretty incredible.
I know it's early doors, but has there been any word on DLC for it?
I haven't heard anything.
I have not heard anything either. I know there's a couple different routes they could go with DLC, because the original XCOM game, there were a number of sequel XCOM games that came out that basically had, additional alien enemy, confrontations set up in different aspects of the world, or one was called Terror of the Deep, where it was actual underwater. I don't know how they're going to handle the DLC. My guess is just some new, probably weapon types, new squad mate abilities, that kind of thing. That would be my guess. Maybe multiplayer, different maps, because I think there's only 5 right now. That could be a possibility. But it is an excellent game. There's a free demo out on Xbox Live, also on PS3, I believe, and on Steam. So go check out XCOM. It is worth checking out.
I might try the demo then, just from some of the stuff that you guys have said today. I don't know how much of that I'll get to have a play with. But the Overwatch thing, I won't mind, because I never really used that when I was playing it a year ago. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, that does it for what we've been playing. I think we can probably move forward. Well, one last thing I wanted to bring up. I almost forgot. Halo Forward Unto Dawn. Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn. Episode 2 came out. I said I wasn't going to watch it. I ended up watching it. I'm really enjoying the series, but I asked Mr. Matthew to at least take a quick look, because one of the things that Chinny said last week that really just stuck in my craw was he said that everybody looks too pretty, and they don't look like they would be in a military academy. And then I thought, well, gosh, we've got a guy that works at West Point, Mr. Matthew, probably the best authority to be able to talk about what cadets look like or don't look like in terms of a military academy. So I made you watch a couple minutes of it. What do you think? Is it at least ballpark?
I don't think it's unreasonable. I mean clearly they're all actors, right? So they're going to have a certain physical appearance that you would expect of actors. But, yeah, not ridiculously so. I mean, nobody's going to watch it if it's a bunch of, Chris Matthews running around out there screaming.
Oh, I might. I might have watched that.
Yeah, you'd be sorely disappointed. I'm not very, I'm very talented in the whole acting. So I don't know. I thought it was fine. I only watched up to the part where the drill instructor shot the dude in the chest, and then I was like, okay, no.
For what it's worth, I've been enjoying the series. I don't think I was ever truly really looking forward to a live action Halo movie, only because God knows the track record for any video game movie so far has been less than good when it comes to, you know, transition onto the silver screen. But this one so far, I've been enjoying what I've been seeing. Now, in fairness, there haven't been any, you know, real need for major special effects, other than backdrop scenery stuff. So, I think the proof is going to be, you know, in the pudding when they actually get aliens, you know, Covenant involved or Master Chief, and seeing how he looks in this, you know, the setup. That's going to be that telltale moment whether this really succeeds or fails. But so far, so good. Anyway, all right, now let's move on to new releases. All right, so new releases this week. Well, the holiday push continues on, and gosh, no holiday would be fit without Zumba Fitness Core, huh? For the Wii?
No.
No. All right. Well, yeah, it's out though. Zumba Fitness Core. Get it on the Wii. Roller Coaster Tycoon and Sparkle Snapshots 3D for the 3DS. You can pick up on the PS3 this week. 007 Legends, Doom 3 BFG Edition, Jeopardy, Mugen Souls, I think I'm saying that right, Rocksmith Guitar and Bass, and Wheel of Fortune, all on the retail shelves. PSN games this week also include 007 Legends, Arcado Series 03 Pixel, or 03 Pixel, however you want to look at that, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion Witch, and The Wardrobe, that's the old PS2 classic, Doom 3 BFG Edition, Jeopardy, Of Orcs and Men, and Wheel of Fortune. Minis, you can pick up Breakquest. Yes, that's Breakquest. Extra Evolution. And DLC this week. Borderlands 2, Captain Scarlet and Her Pirate's Booty, and Sleeping Dogs Racer Pack come out. PS Vita, you've got Silent Hill, Book of Memories. On the PSN side, Dakuru and Silent Hill, Book of Memories as well. And moving over to the Xbox 360 this week, 007 Legends, Doom 3 BFG Edition, Jeopardy, and Rocksmith Guitar and Bass, and I should say Jeopardy is not part of the Doom 3 BFG Edition. That's two separate games. Wheel of Fortune also out this week on the retail shelves. Xbox Live Arcade, Serious Sam 3 BFE comes out, and Zombie Driver HD. Looks like that might be a little fun. So those are our two Xbox Live Arcade games this week. And DLC front, you've got Borderlands 2, Captain Scarlet and Her Pirate's Booty. Serious Sam 3, Jewel of the Nile DLC comes out right on the heels of the release. And Sleeping Dogs Racer Pack, all out this week. And that's it for the new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! Can't handle the truth.
All right, so news quiz time. You guys, you didn't think you were getting away from the news quiz, did you? Of course not. Rich,
mm-hmm.
Rich, what product is coming out on October 26th? Is it A? Sorry, let me rephrase this, Rich. I apologize. What product is not, keyword not, coming out October 26th?
Mm-hmm.
Windows 8, Microsoft Surface, or Xbox Music? Think long and hard on this one, soldier.
I know the entry-level Surface tablet is coming out in October to hit the Christmas market, and the high-end one's coming out after Christmas. So I'm going to say that is coming out, even though I'm not sure of my dates.
Okay.
Windows 8... I'm going to go for the Microsoft Music not coming out.
That's a good guess. You know why? Because it's already out.
Yeah.
Yes. Microsoft Windows 8 and Microsoft Surface both coming out October 26th. So the Surface for Windows RT tablet is going to run you anywhere from $499 all the way up to $599, depending on which route you want to go. There's a 32 gig and a 64 gig version. And then they're also coming out with Windows 8, which you can buy the disks version for $69.99 or a downloadable version for basically $40. They're going the affordable route with the OS, which I like to see. I like being able to upgrade the operating system without having to give my firstborn child. All right, Mr. Matthew, let's kick it over to you. What? Jeez, Louise, here we go. Yeah, this is.
I need to take that sample and scratch the fuck out of it.
What did EA give away this past weekend for taking their survey? Was it A, one free DLC pack to a game, B, 10% off, a 10% off code, or C, did they give away the kitchen sink and everything with it, Mr. Matthew?
I'm going to say it was codes for free games. Was that one of the choices?
In essence, you're right. And it was me trying to be funny with this question. But yeah, EA hosted a survey this past weekend, and they awarded them with a code to download one free game under $20. Problem was, the codes weren't matched up to a specific Origin account. Oh. They could be used by anyone.
Oh.
And the codes worked multiple times.
Oh. See, if I had known this, I'd have had some new games on my PC.
Yeah, apparently they were running rabid over the weekend. Everybody downloaded codes off Origin. And they were getting games like Dead Space 2, Burnout Paradise, SimCity 4, Mass Effect 2, basically for $0. Now, they have since then fixed this, but yeah, there was a run on Origin. And apparently EA is letting the people keep the games they got over the weekend. So.
Yeah, but there was a load of people that obviously weren't hip to the thing that went bananas because they were saying that,
yeah.
You know, they were loyal and they bought stuff and they weren't getting anything. And they was all saying, right, well, I'm canceling my pre-order of this, that, and the other. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was a fiasco. Yeah. All right, Rich, two more notable irrational game employees have left the company and gone where? Is it A, Microsoft, B, Sony, or C, EA?
Irrational
Games, they're making BioShock Infinite.
I know they are. It's Ken Levine's lot, isn't it?
Yes.
No previous relation really with EA. I'm going to go Microsoft, just for a guess.
That's a good guess. Yeah, no. The AI lead Don Norberry and the combat design director Clint Bundrick now at Microsoft. And oddly enough, this is not the only person to have left and gone to Microsoft. There was also Joseph Falstick, who also left Irrational to go to Microsoft. So something in the water, maybe, I don't know, but. This is there's been four pretty high level irrational employees since August that have left, and three of those four now have gone to Microsoft.
Lining up the next gen stuff. Getting the talent in ready for the next gen.
Yep. All right. Mr. Matthew, Microsoft cut prices in the U.S. on almost all of its bundles by how much? A, $25, B, $50, or C,
$75? $50.
There you go. Yeah, $50 across the board, pretty much on everything except for, I believe, the Halo 4 bundle pack is not getting that price cut. But, yeah, all the 250 gig bundles and the 4 gig Kinect bundles all got a price cut. So, Rich, Microsoft also announced what they're doing for the UK in terms of pricing for the holidays. What did they do? Is it A, new bundles but no price cut, B, price cuts but no bundles, or C, price cuts along with new bundles?
I don't think bundles are that big of a rate, to be honest with you. Price cuts, no bundles.
Well, unfortunately, Rich, no price cuts, but lots of bundles.
That sounds... Yeah, well, that's right as well. We never get any money off here. And another thing, tell you about your reward scheme, right? Don't plaster your UK website with promotions that only apply to America.
Hey, okay, now, for the record, Rich, there are people from the U.S. that visit Gaming for the Elderly, so don't be giving me that gruff.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Microsoft's own rewards fucking program. You go on it, you go on the UK fucking thing, and it's giving you promotions that apply to America only. Bullshit! Oh,
that's pretty wrong. I will say, I did take the plunge on Black Ops 2. Microsoft, for the U.S., had a nice little promotion, and I decided to take advantage of it. They you pre-ordered Black Ops 2 from Microsoft Store. You got a $10 basically coupon for future purchase, and then 1,600 free Microsoft points when the game comes. So,
well, bully for you!
All right, we're going to move on from that sore subject. Mr. Matthew, Halo 4 has been leaked, and illegal copies have surfaced. What is Microsoft doing about it? Are they A, allowing players to play? B, are they banning their Xbox Live accounts? Or C, are they banning both Xbox Live accounts and consoles?
Or D, prosecuting English people?
Yes, they're only prosecuting British people. American people are being given free puppies for the leak. Because apparently Microsoft hates British people. Yes. What are they doing? Banning accounts, banning consoles, or letting people play? I'm sure they're not letting people play. So I'm going to go with a permanent... You know what? They're going to drop the hammer. Permanent console ban.
Yeah, no, that pretty much is the case, yeah. Microsoft has responded saying they are basically they wouldn't confirm if all Halo 4 pirates will receive full console bans, but it did confirm that both account and console bans may occur, which, read between the lines, will happen.
You done been had, son.
Rich, how much will Call of Duty Elite cost Black Ops 2 users this year? Is it A, $60, B, $30, or C, free?
It'll cost you absolutely nothing.
Even if you're in the UK.
That's right.
Yes, Black Ops 2, the Call of Duty Elite service is going to be free. Activision, I guess, has done a full circle on this and said this time around it appears that the access to the DLC is no longer available just to elite members, kind of prepaid, but you're going to have to do season passes, and the elite service is going to be free.
Yeah, I did notice as well that the season pass is actually $50, which is $1
right.
more than your subscription would have been to elite. So, yeah.
Well,
more
I
money.
Think at the end of the... I think what they realized was that the elite service, they wanted to create this season pass situation of pay us another $50 and you'll get all the maps. They tied it into the elite service this last time around, and unfortunately I think it ended up dividing the community because a lot of people didn't necessarily want to buy into that, and so they kind of hurt their audience. So this way everybody is going to be able to take advantage of the elite services and get their, play with their buddies, and it's probably going to make them even more money because now if your buddies all have the map and you have the map, you're not going to feel this need to have to buy a season pass, but at least you could buy a map. Let's move on. Last question, Mr. Matthew.
Yeah.
Your favorite company, Nintendo, also announced their own price cuts this past week. What does a Wii bundled console now cost you, Mr. Matthew? Is it A, $129.99, B, $139.99, or C, $149.99?
They're giving those things away, $129.99.
They are indeed, yeah. $129.99 now for a Wii. I I mean, they got to do something to help those things move out.
You get two games with it as well.
You do, yes. You get Wii Sports Resort in addition to Wii Sports thrown into that bundle. So I guess it also includes a black Wii console, a black Wiimote Plus, a black Nunchuck. So it's the slick version.
It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the news quiz. It is time to take the show break. And when we come back from that, we'll tackle the community mailbag.
Yeah, we will. Tackle it. Like, bam, down. Wrap up.
Why so serious? Let's put a smile on that face.
Okay, break time is over. Time for community mailbag. So this week's question, kind of a simple one. Saves or checkpoints? Which do you prefer? Have to choose one or the other. You don't get both. I know a lot of games offer both. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, if you had to choose, which way would you go? Saves or checkpoints? Rich. Is it game dependent?
It is game dependent because some games, if it's like auto saves, you kind of sometimes you have to stretch out. It's always a good excuse for me. I'm going to attack this question in a different angle. My wife walks in I'm playing on the Xbox. I can always say to her, and I can even lie about this. I've got to wait until it saves again before I can turn it off. And then I can string out, say, an extra 20 minutes. So I'm going to say auto-save, just based on that. Even though I can lie about it, when I can really just save it myself.
That's true. I think I have finally trained my wife in that kind of same thinking. Mm-hmm. She'll ask, are you at a point where you can stop your game? And I'll just be like, no, not yet.
Yeah. Great.
Mr. Matthew, what about you?
I hate to equivocate, but it really depends on the type of game. If it's a shooter type game, then I think checkpoints are better, because if you can save every second, like when I was playing through Half-Life 2, I was trying to do it with some certain achievements, right? And you can save like every second. So,
yeah.
You know, I would make a jump and then save, and then make another jump and then save and do stuff like that. So I think for the gameplay experience, when you're in an action game like that, checkpoints are better, but when you're doing something RPG-ish where decisions have consequences, maybe, you know, being able to save whenever you want is better, especially for something like Skyrim where things take forever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hadn't really thought about that, but no, I think definitely for action games, you know, the Modern Warfare's of the world, checkpoints aren't going to, they're not going to take you out of the experience. You get that little hitch where it's saving real quick and then you're moving on. Whereas, you know, having to stop, hit the menu screen, hit save, have, you know, that just breaks the experience. And I know there are games where somewhere it's just you hit the back button and you create a save point, but that to me is almost more like a checkpoint as opposed to a save point. But anyway. All right, let's see what the community had to say. Mr. Matthew, I think you're first up with the gate responses.
Yeah, gate responses. What's up? Nick Nitrous 15 says, for me, both. It's really annoying when you get close to the end of a level and then die, The last one, we have to start all the way from the beginning. It's also annoying when you want to leave a game but can't because it hasn't autosaved for ages. True. The Ginger Ninja says, I agree with Nick Nitrous 15. Having regular checkpoints throughout a level are great in case you die just before the end, stopping you replaying the whole level. This also helps for an emergency such as power cut or fuse blowing. You still use fuses? But I also want to save whenever I want to. We all have lives and need to fit gaming in when we can, so having to replay 10 to 20 minutes from the last checkpoint can be a real pain when you get only 30 minutes to play fitted between picking the kids up from school, running the wife's baths, or cooking a meal. Hire the help. Cooper says it depends on the game. Really? In Skyrim, you have to have save games, and not just three, like some games. I need to be able to save constantly. Other games, checkpoints are fine. One thing about checkpoints or autosaves, though, is they can occur at inconvenient times, not allowing you to go back and do something without starting the game over because you don't have save game to reload. I always prefer both. JSS Lifealike says, this is actually pretty relevant to me at the moment. I just finished the last story, and it had a nice blend of both. That's when progress saving is at its best. The place where it gets touchy is in the implementation. For example, I got a boss that initially wiped the floor with me, and when I opened the last checkpoint, it was three fights before my last save. Just saying, kind of dumb. Save anywhere is probably the most efficient solution, but we're all too stupid to remember to do that often enough. Admit it, you're that guy too. Yes. Thuber responds, that's lame. Also lame, when the checkpoint is right at the beginning of the boss fight, so all you can do is respawn and die endlessly until you somehow luck out. There's no avoiding the boss until you're more ready. Denver J, you know I never really noticed this feature until the question came up. I only really even cared about the save system when it sucks, which is true. You only really care. Like getting stuck in a corner with so many mobs shooting at you that you can't even get off any rounds before you die and respawn again only to be blasted into oblivion over and over and over. Just happened to me in three-player co-op in Borderlands 2. I will say that I prefer the anytime save and the autosave combo more than anything else. This usually gives you enough options to go back in the game if you messed up or are trapped in some way, and it saves your ass more than a few times when you forget to save your game over the last 3 hours. JSS Lifelike agrees wholeheartedly with Thuber. That was one of the things he loved about Xenoblade. I can't believe he mentioned Nintendo. Right during the boss encounter, it started you out of its aggro range, allowing you to respec. And then SLH says, saves work best for me. I think she's the only one who actually took a position on this. A nice comment. No control, I hate being forced to play until I get to a checkpoint or abandon my progress since the last one if I have to come off. Or having reached one, deciding whether it's worth carrying on if I'm not sure I'll have enough time to reach the next one. So essentially what the Gaming Fidelity community said is, we're not going to answer your question, Greg. We're going to tell you right. We want to have it all. And we want it now. And we want it yesterday, and we want more tomorrow. And the demands will all be changed then, so stay awake.
Well, let's see if a lag had maybe a more, on-point response. The Real Defoe chimed in, said, well, I love both, like in Skyrim, but if I had to choose one, it would probably be checkpoints. I always feel so relieved after I clear a checkpoint. That is true. Checkpoints are like mini goals in a game. When you hit that checkpoint, you're just like, oh, okay, now I know, I made it. Can move forward again. Sid responded, bonfires, which I'm assuming are Dark Souls checkpoints. Yeah,
ignore that.
Yeah, Real Defoe also
never
came back.
Dark Souls.
Yeah, he said, speaking of bonfires, there's one game I will not be playing during Extra Life. Shameless plug to get more money than Greg. No Dark Souls for Real Defoe. Yeah.
Shame on you.
Rich, I think we had a tweet response and an email. Not related at all to the question of the week, but nonetheless, I thought kind of fitting, especially after that last response from Lag.
Yeah. Tweet response was basically support for my love for Prometheus and just saying, keep sticking up for it, Rich. There's some daft bits, but I like it. That's from Andy Bandwagon. Bangin' Wagon? I thought it was Bandwagon.
Bangin' Wagon.
Nope. Yeah.
So, I know. I've given you a lot of shit over Prometheus. I admit.
Yeah. Not bothered.
And we gave you a lot of shit over Dark Souls.
Yeah, not bothered. Again, yeah. Not bothered.
You're good like
community
that.
Community are backing me. That's all I'm bothered.
You about. Are still my number one squatty, Rich.
Yeah, damn right. Medic in the house. Yeah, so we got an email.
Yes, we did.
You've heard us talk a couple of times about the legends that were the Couch Mercenaries. We've had an email from a... Jason Walsh, who's High Class from...
Yes, High Class, 1979.
Yes, and he's just titled this email, "Don't Call It a Comeback, I've Been Here for Years." And he goes on to say, "From the rubble of the most historic podcast team ever collected, I am emerging, armed with a Wii remote in one hand and a Master Sword in the other. £80 lighter and no longer the heavy breather." I've taken over that role, mate. "I'm coming to finish what I started, flying the Canadian banner proudly. I'm ready to take my throne. Wii versus Xbox 360. Remember the humility. The High Class Impact is coming back. Stay tuned." And then he goes on to say, "He would love to guest on the show sometimes, but I'm not sure if you can handle the legend. I'll be producing my own show soon and hope to have the original TCM crew come together for some audio magic. But I'll start out by challenging you to do Battle of Wits once I'm back. Wii U versus the 360. Hope you have a next of kin. Love, High Class 1979. So basically, High Class is basing his comeback all on the fact that he's now going to go out and buy a Wii U. So, yeah.
Right.
Great. Can we time this guest appearance for the week that it comes out?
We may have to. I talked with High Class, exchanging some emails. We almost were able to get him onto the show tonight. But he, at last minute, said that he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make it. I think in 2 weeks' time, that is currently what we're shooting for, to have him come visit us on the show, and maybe we'll have him come back once the Wii U is actually out. But he did make this comment, because I said, you know, you come, you know, talk with the new show, talk a little trash. And he said, "Trash talk? I don't think the Brits could handle my trash talk." So he's thrown down the gauntlet in a couple different ways here. High Class and I had many a back and forth back in the day, the old Wii versus Xbox 360. And now, of course, he wants to compare a new system that is just now launching to a system that's, you know, basically 7 years old now. Yeah, we'll take that challenge. I don't mind. But I'm happy to hear High Class, you know, rallying back up. They were a fun podcast in the past, so... maybe they can get some of that magic back. I guess we'll see. We'll get them to come on to VGHub.net and be part of the whole team. We didn't have any voicemails this week. You know, people are afraid. They don't like to get their voice out there. It's scary, I guess, getting on and talking and knowing that millions upon millions of people who actually don't listen to this podcast might hear your voice.
There is actually just something to note there as well. If people are using Twitter a lot more, because not a lot of people use Skype, I noticed something last week that you've now got the ability to record voice messages and send them via Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because Ricky Gervais was doing it. So, yeah, if somebody does a search for voice message Twitter... I'm sure you'll come up with something. So if anybody wants to send any stupid stuff, feel free. I'm sure we'll find a way of getting it off and broadcasting it.
Yeah. And in fact, you could respond to our next question of the week if you wanted, and that's going to be this. With all the major titles coming out for the holidays, are you even willing to look at Xbox Live Arcade and PSN games? You know, I mean, there's a lot of AAA stuff, a lot of high volume, high cost, $60 price tag games coming out. Arcade kind of feels like it's suffering a little bit, so I want to know if the community feels the same way. And that means we're going to play a jingle, and then Chris is going to talk.
No, I'm not. Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Community events.
In the community this week, Minecraft on Mondays, which was yesterday, or 6 days from today, or maybe 4 days from today when you download this. I don't know. Friday night racing at 8 p.m. British Standard Time, and Mike's not here, so the veteran gamers will be doing something. Madden 13 League ongoing, and don't forget to sign up for the Halo 4 tournament. Apparently nobody was born this week, so people get out there and get to humping 9 months ago. I know it's too late. 3 months from now. 3 months from now, put it on your calendar.
Need to hump today.
On your calendar.
Exactly. And welcome to the new members. Snow.
Members as well, Chris?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, hush.
Talking too rude for me.
No, Will 1986. Welcome.
There you go.
Yes. Congratulations to this week's victory achieved achievers. Bongo the Sane finished Mark of the Ninja. Denver J finished Borderlands 2. JSS Lifelike finished The Last Story. And don't forget, you have until October the 31st to get in for the first drawing. Rules. You must include your face in the picture you send along with the ending credits of the game and the title if it's not obvious. Follow at g4te.com, spell the dot on Twitter. Winner will be announced exclusively right here on the Overseas Connection podcast.
Yeah, exclusive.
Exclusive.
Breaking.
And I believe that means it's time for us to hear from Mr. Nose and Mr. Ninja.
Mr. Nose.
Hello, peeps. This is Parsnip Nose 3000 with another weekly community spotlight. This week, I'd like to mention Betty Bear, partly because it was his birthday on Sunday, which was 2 days ago. So happy birthday, Betty. And partly because he showed up for Friday Night Racing on Friday, and it's the first time we've seen him in ages. It was lovely to see him, and he's also just become the king of a kingdom in Parallel Kingdom, which, if you play Parallel Kingdom, that's kind of a big deal. So congratulations on that too, Betty. It's very well deserved, I must say, as well. Anyway, that's it from me. If you want to go and meet Betty on Parallel Kingdom, check out parallelkingdom.com and maybe send Betty Bear a message. Anyway, okay, that really is it from me. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you for that, Parsnip, and yeah, good to see Betty Bear finally kind of back to playing.
Shit,
hopefully we see more of it.
I should have took that invite. I got one off Parsnip has an uncanny knack of sending me Forza invites just as I've got literally the cellophane off a new game.
Yeah, I believe he is just spamming everybody
I know, that
is in the community,
I talked to him about that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay with it, I don't mind, because it's usually my lunch hour, so I'm probably not going to jump on, but you never know. I've been known to game once in a while during lunch. All right, indie writer's block this week, we have a few. Forza Horizons demo review, as well as a Happy Wars review. Happy Wars, in case you are not familiar, that's the free-to-play Xbox Live game. If you're an Xbox Live Gold member, you get Happy Wars free. Of course, microtransactions will commence after. But those two reviews are up, as well as Candidate Shepherd, Bad for the Galaxy, Bad for You. It's written by Mr. Conger, and I should point out that the Happy Wars review was done by DSUVs. And Ginge Ninge did the Forza Horizons review. So check them out. It's on the Indie Writers Block homepage of The Gate. And if you want to submit something, well, feel free to shoot off a tweet to @IWBlock. That's IWBLOCK. Or you can just send an email to IWB@G4TE.com. And Shinyverse Jay is in charge of that, so he'll get back to you about submission process, all that good stuff. We do happen to have a couple of iTunes reviews this week, guys. Yeah, iTunes reviews.
I know.
And they're one from the U.S. and one from the U.K. I'm really excited. So NJ Movie Guy gave us 5 stars, says, very good show. They offer a gamer's perspective and made me consider trying games I might have overlooked. Thank you. And then over in the U.K. we have Crash Test Dummy, not Crash Test, but Crash Test Dummy. And he rated us 5 stars well and said, love the podcast. The crew gel nicely and is always entertaining. Man hugs to all. So thank you for that.
Gelled up man hugs.
Gelled up man hugs. Yeah, now I'm feeling uncomfortable. Which is perfect timing for our gaming fact.
Hello, it's Bongo the Sane here, and welcome to another gaming fact. Rather strange, possibly obscure, but definitely a gaming fact. The year is 1984. I have a Commodore 64 in my parents' roost base, and I had just got my beautiful boxed copy of Elite, the fantastic space trading game by David Brabham of Raspberry Pi fame. The box itself was beautiful, with a poster and a storybook, a keyboard overlay to show you what keys to press, and a cassette for my Commodore 64. You could be a pirate dealing in narcotics, or slaves, or firearms. Lots of fun, but always in trouble with the police. You could be an ordinary trader dealing in luxury goods and gems, and you could be a soldier in the military going on missions. You could be a bounty hunter, or you could go asteroid mining, or even skim the surface of a sun to get fuel for your maximum 7 light-year jump in your Cobra Mark II spaceship. It was a fantastic game. It let your imagination run wild. Elite was fabulous. A bit Star Wars, a bit Hitchhikers, a bit Star Trek. My 15-year-old self absolutely loved it. And I got lost in that universe. I dealt narcotics, firearms, alien artifacts. It was out of this world. This game has had an effect on lots of games. The innovation back then was just phenomenal. If you want to play Elite today, you can download it for free on multiple platforms. Go on, give it a whiz. See what us old-time gamers were playing. Thanks very much. Bongo out.
All right, Bongo, thank you for that. As always,
what was that?
Dude just pulls it out. I don't know. It's craziness. All right, let's wrap up the show, guys. Rich, honestly, he's like your kindred spirit. I think if you guys met up in a bar, you probably neither one would leave sober standing.
We nearly did. We nearly did. We was close to going to a bar.
I'd be fearful of that if I were you. But I would want to watch. I just would like to throw that out there. I'd be a fly on the wall, just entertained thoroughly. Mostly because once you guys started talking, I would only catch about half the conversation, and I would make up the rest in my head.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Emailing the show ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's the email. Feel free to drop us a line. If you're going to tweet us, Rich...
Yeah, if you wanted to put an at the front of an email address, I'd suggest you do that elsewhere, like on Twitter, and try @OC_podcast. Try that.
Probably would work much better. And Chris, if by chance you thought, I need to call the show and leave a disgruntled message about the host or the crew in general, where might you call?
The Ghostbusters, Greg. Who else are you going to call? And you can reach the Ghostbusters at 626-506-2763 or 626-50-OC-POD.
Who are you going to call? Yeah. I suppose if you called, maybe you'd want to leave an iTunes review that was negative, but we'd prefer if you left one that was positive, kind of like the other two, Crash Test Dummy and NJ Movie Guy, which I'm pretty sure NJ Movie Guy is New Jersey Movie Guy. That's just my brilliance of deduction right there. Just hit me like a frickin' slap to the face. Anyway,
amazing.
truly amazing. That's pretty much it, guys. Let's close it out. Shout outs, Chris, go.
I'm going to shout out the Gaming for the Elderly Facebook Fan of the Week this week, which is Alan Proudfoot. Congratulations. If you want to be the Facebook Fan of the Week, then get on our Facebook page and make a comment on our wall. And my second shout out, the stick man, Richard Garstecki, Staff Sergeant retired, U.S. Army National Guard, who runs our Facebook account, might pick you as the Facebook Fan of the Week. So get in there, Rich.
Yeah. I want to shout out Marty, Greasy Fish Lips, because he very kindly thought of me first and sent me a message via Twitter, because he's selling his PS3. And how's this for a deal? What do you think? Come on, throw it around the table. 160 quid, so I don't know how much that is in dollars, about 300-ish. Something like that. Anyway, boxed, good, really good nick, one controller, five games, so you get all three Uncharted, Heavy Rain, and a tennis game, plus three Blu-ray discs for 160 quid.
What are the Blu-ray discs? We can't grade this deal until we know what the Blu-rays are.
I'm guessing, just for your viewing pleasure, Greg, it would be Prometheus, The Human Centipede, and Backscuttlers Deluxe.
Okay.
In Amsterdam.
Clearly, those three movies are the highlight. Yeah. All right, Chris.
I haven't finished yet.
Oh, there's more to the trade. Okay, let's hear it.
No, I haven't finished my shout-outs. Anyway,
you were asking us to grade the deal.
Oh, sorry, I thought you was passing it around finger. Sorry, yeah. What do you reckon, Chris? Is that a good deal?
160 pounds, that's about $300.
Yeah, roughly.
I don't know.
That's tough. I have to admit, the five games is nice.
Yeah, I have to think you can find a better deal than that out there if you look.
Anyway, if you're interested in this deal, it's
I'm grading it a C
at Greasy Fish Lips, and you can haggle from there because obviously Greg and Chris don't think it's worth shit, but that's the US dollar for you. However, if you're in browbeating Britain and you do fancy a decent deal, then at Greasy Fish Lips, check him out. He might be able to sort you out. Yeah. The other one that I've got a shout out for is,
hold on before you go there, Greasy, drop it to like $2.99 US, so like $1.59 on the British pounds, and then it's a deal.
And then get the Yanks to pay for the postage.
Exactly. It's got to be sub 300 to sell this.
Okay. Right. Email response if you want, Greaser. Get it in for next week.
It's just going to be a big F you.
Screw you clowns.
Yeah.
So the other one is, I'm going to shout out Felix, the Australian fella that jumped out the capsule and did the skydive from space. Did anybody see it?
Okay.
Because it was all over the news and everything. Did you watch?
I did not.
Well, we saw on the news that he was just about to reach altitude, and my kids, unlike myself, when there was a bit of space action going on when I was a kid, we used to get assembled in the hall at school and watch space shuttles take off and stuff. They've not seen anything space related in their lives, really. So we saw on the news that the guy was going to do this jump out of the pod in the stratosphere, and basically switched it on the iPad and all huddled around the iPad and watched this guy jump, get out of this pod and jump out. And the kids were absolutely amazed. And I thought it was brilliant just to see somebody doing something in space again. And I thought the pictures were ace. Excellent. So, well done, that man. And well done for bringing a bit more space action to the world. And why didn't they put it on instead of the bloody X Factor live on television? For God's sake.
Because the X Factor has better ratings, Rich.
Yeah. Over to you, Greg.
Now, so you just made me like have this flashback to my childhood.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. My memories of the space shuttle.
We're not going back to Sputnik, are we? When you was living in Russia.
No, close.
Okay.
No, my like vivid memory of space shuttle launches was the unfortunate space shuttle that blew up.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I think back to that, and I'm like, God, I was like, I don't know, 10 years old, and I don't think any of us really realized the gravity of what we saw. And now that I look back on it, it's kind of one of those just kind of odd things. It just kind of hit me as we were talking. You were talking about it, and that memory just flashed back to our whole classroom was sitting around watching this TV monitor, watching the space shuttle go up, and boom. And it was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, not to bring the whole show down. Now I'm going to talk about something a little more positive, and that's Extra Life. And I want to shout out Stickman because he donated to me, Rich. He said, you know what, I was debating back and forth on who I was going to donate, but Greg, I heard about your little drawing that you're going to do for the $60 Amazon card, U.S. or U.K. value, and he said, you know, I decided to go with you. And I said, good on you, and anybody else who wants a chance at that, you still have time, even as you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday, even Friday morning, donate at least $20, it'll get you a ticket. I'm throwing everybody into a hat, and I'm going to pull out a winner, and we'll announce it when I come back from my trip. So it'll be 2 weeks from now when I announce it on the podcast live.
My heart's still saying Real Defoe. I'm sorry. So, yeah. Don't forget Real Defoe. If anybody wants to put any money in for Real Defoe...
You know what? I put money in Real Defoe. Actually, I put money in for everybody on the team today. Went through, and I figured instead of just lumping one donation in, I spread it out amongst all the team members. So, but that said, I think we are pretty much done, guys. We're out of here. But yeah, no, I was actually happy to hear you were playing Dishonored because I wanted to hear about it.
Mm. Plenty to say.
I don't think you're ever at a loss for words, Rich.
No.
That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
I bought some proper cycling bib tights. Started biking again, road biking.
Okay, now, so when you're saying cycling bib tights,
yeah.
Are you meaning like the kind of like a one-piece, like, bodysuit type thing?
Yeah.
So they're like shorts, but they you know, they've got a built-in shirt, that kind of thing?
Yeah, these aren't shorts because okay. Winter's upon us, mate, nearly, so...
Gotcha.
I've got long ones. Yeah. I don't know.
There is something to be said about it.
I used to like a treadmill when I could plug in and listen to music and stuff.
Right.
Because I used to do a lot of that. I used to do about 10K every other day. But
that's good.
Then I started having kids and stuff. But yeah, I never minded running on a treadmill. I always got into the rhythm of it. I liked it. And I couldn't do the watching telly thing, but I used to like having my music on and running.
Yeah, I mean, watching television, if it's a sporting event.
Yeah,
I can handle that.
On them, they fit perfect when you're standing up. But when I was out on them, because you're leaning over on the rope bars, basically they were digging in like billio into my shoulders. Now, apparently, a cycling tip is that if you find that you're getting this, you can put sanitary towels under the straps on your shoulders, and it helps out a lot. But I wasn't up for that. So what I've done is I've gone out and got some additional elastic, and basically built like an extension that adjusts when you lean over. So if you lean over,
I don't know. I don't know, Rich. I kind of think you need to go with the sanitary pads. You need to look for the ones with wings. Just say that. I'm taking flight.
I need these in black. Do you do these in black?
Here we go.
Starsky's ready. Let's go.
Starsky's ready.
Board. Let's do this. Oh, my bad.
He's also snotted up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Ha, ha, ha.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, the official podcast. Really? Really, Mr. Matthew?
I was trying to time it right. I'm sorry. I thought I'm embarrassed. I thought I could feel it.
It was good. Do you want to do the intro?
No, you got it.
No, you got it.
No, you got it.
Oh, don't leave me hanging like that, Chris. Come on.
Wait, what? I can't talk unless I have somebody to interrupt, apparently, so I was waiting for you to talk again. Sorry. Terrible.
That's all right.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Chris.
Good.
How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good.
Chris, your time is atrocious today. Absolutely atrocious.
Let's just start over. Right.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah.
Good night.
That was a very long show.
I know. Long-winded. Rich, you're killing me, man. You're cutting me. You're killing me.
You know what I do, Greg. I leave it till the last minute every year. So
you're like a brother. You just backstab me.
You're just going to have to wait and see.
You broke my heart, Frankie.
E2, Brute, E2?
Oh, yeah, Chris. Earlier on in the evening, you said that quote about, what was it? Oh, God, I can't remember now.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, that quote, Chris. You said something early on. Remember that?
I'll remember it in a minute.
No, you won't.
It was the one about you waking up and you'll have to remember this moment, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I've only ever heard that from a British comedian.
Oh, so, yeah, that was
Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly, yeah, when he's talking about the feminist movement. Yeah, I was quoting that.
Do you watch Billy Connolly then?
My Scottish accent is horrible, so I wasn't going to attempt one.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about
too
RPGs.
Many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
We don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.